Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, New Cornellians, family, friends, distinguished guests, and orientation volunteers. My name is Jason Button, and I am the co-chair of the Orientation Steering Committee. I would personally like to welcome you to beautiful Ithaca. I hope the move-in process went well and would like for you to join us in giving a warm round of applause to the more than 700 orientation volunteers. By our calculations, they lifted over 15,000 boxes, 3,700 alarm clocks, 3,700 iPods, and roughly 25,000 pairs of shoes. I would also like to ask you to join us in recognizing the university officials who are here with us this morning. Please hold your applause until the end. Judith Appleton, Vice Provost, Catherine Bohr, Dean, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, Laura Brown, Senior Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education, Tommy Bruce, Vice President for University Communications, Lance Collins, Dean, College of Engineering, Joanne DeStefano, Vice President for Finance and CFO, Kent Fox, Provost, Carol Grumbach, Associate Dean of Students, Kent Hubble, Dean of Students, Michael Johnson, Dean, School of Hotel Administration, Sarah Jones, Assistant Dean, New Student Programs, Robert Smith, Associate Dean, Industrial and Labor Relations, Kent Kleiman, Dean, Architecture, Art and Planning, Barbara Newth, Vice Provost and Dean, Graduate School, Alan Matthews, Dean, College of Human Ecology, James Mingle, University Counsel and Secretary of the Corporation, Susan Murphy, Vice President for Student and Academic Services, Mary Opperman, Vice President for Human Resources, Gretchen Ritter, Dean, College of Arts and Sciences, Charlie Fligger, Vice President for Alumni Affairs and Development, and David Scorton, President. Also with us here today are University Trustees Robert Abrams, Emeritus Trustee. Joining us in the audience is Ezra Cornell, Trustee, Alan Mittman, Trustee, and Carolyn Newman, Emeritus Trustee. And student elected trustees, Derek Evanson and Ross Gitlin. Also here with us is the president of the student assembly, Ulysses Smith. In addition, I would like to acknowledge the members of the 2013 Orientation Steering Committee. They are also sitting on stage. They have been working since last September to make much of this coming orientation week a reality. Philip Andriel, Julie Ewing, Rachel Gerber, Rudy Gerson, Christopher Glessner, Winnie Huang, Rehan Kluarachi, Matthew Muncy, Nick Parisi, Bianca Rodriguez, Rachel Smith, Georgia Somer, Keva Tobin, and Hannah Weaver. Thank you. I am so excited to be standing on this stage welcoming the class of 2017 and the incoming transfer students to our beautiful campus. 3 years ago, my parents dragged me here to Shulkoff Stadium at 8:30 a.m. after my first night of orientation week. I remember sitting in the stands and watching the speeches, but to be honest, I really can't remember what was spoken about. On one side of me, my mother was anxiously flipping through the guidebook and reminding me of all the required activities I had to go to. I, however, was ready to head back to bed and hit up the dining hall with some friends that I had met. Little did I know that that ragtag group of freshmen that I had just been randomly placed with in Low-Rise 6, Unit 3 would become the friends that I had always hoped of finding at college, especially after binging on 5 seasons of How I Met Your Mother that summer. This television series, for those who haven't seen it, follows a group of five young professionals in Manhattan in the quirky situations they find themselves in. My friends in high school were adamant fans, and had certainly discussed the possibility of meeting friends like these after we had graduated. If you haven't seen the show, I recommend watching the first couple seasons on Netflix. Finding my own How I Met Your Mother friend group really started with orientation, and I can almost guarantee that you'll come across your own cast of sitcom characters here as well. The first person you'll easily identify will be your Barney. He will be that tall athlete in your dorm who seems to have already skipped that weird freshman phase where that patch of fuzz on his upper lip makes him think that he's super manly and all the ladies will love him. He also probably isn't here this morning because he was in College Town last night, confidently using his playbook to talk to all the upperclassmen ladies. Although right now his playbook only consists of three questions. What's your name, what's your major, and where are you from? Then you'll find your Marshall and Lily. They will soon fall in love at the orientation book discussion where they simultaneously quote the same line from Where the Emperor Was Divine. They're super awesome and totally perfect for each other. By staying up late and reading their orientation guide, they will soon create the perfect itinerary for the week and will even choose matching formal wear for the event they are most excited for, the always classy Night at the Johnson Art Museum. Robin will be that person who's always surprising you and will probably have some weird stories to tell about her past. She will use orientation as a way to dominate dining hall conversations with rants about camping in the Canadian wilderness. All the while, she'll incidentally be sheltering her table from that infamous awkward wall. You probably won't find a Ted Mosby, because that's you. You have a future planned out, and Cornell University is a key part of it. That future will probably change 5 times while you're on campus and 10 times in your 20s. But that's okay. Orientation is all about this moment. Congratulations on getting here. As we all know, you have certainly worked hard to earn acceptance to the Ivy League. I truly hope that all of you are excited for this upcoming week because the Orientation Steering Committee has been planning for your arrival for months, long before you even knew that you'd be sitting in Ithaca at the end of August. I encourage you to look through your guide and find events that interest you. And most importantly, Orientation Week is for you to meet classmates that you'll know for the rest of your life. Because of this, I seriously urge you to talk and make new friends. You never know who will become your Barney, Marshall, Lily, and Robin. Thank you. I would now like to introduce Student Assembly President Ulysses Smith.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are we all doing this morning?
Great.
It is an absolute pleasure to be here on such a beautiful day, an unusually beautiful day for Ithaca. Soak in all this sunlight now, because in a short month or two, you will be all bundled up. Well, maybe that'll be just me, but I'm a Floridian, so don't judge. Speaking of beautiful weather, I'd like you to take a look at this beautiful land all around us. And I want to give a special thanks to the Cayuga people for the land on which this university sits. We are grateful to have the privilege to be in such a place, despite the bitter winters. Class of 2017, my family in the College of Architecture, Art, and Planning, who's the class of 2018, and any of you who might inadvertently be class of 2018, make some noise for yourselves in here this morning, because I am so proud of all of you for getting here. And please take the time right now to show some love for the parents and families who navigated the mean streets of Ithaca and fought to get the bargains on all of your dorm stuff. My mother always reminds me of the struggles that she endured in order to get me to college, so I will never ever forget to recognize parents here. My name is Ulysses Smith, and I am the president of the Student Assembly, the undergraduate governing body here at Cornell. I'm a fifth-year dual degree student in both the College of Architecture, Art, and Planning and the College of Arts and Sciences. Essentially, that just means that I've been here for a little too long, and my relationship status with graduation is, it's complicated. This is a position in which I never really thought I would find myself, standing in front of a large group of class presidents, valedictorians, salutatorians, athletes, smart people, and all sorts of things that I never was, giving a speech about beginning your journey here at an Ivy League institution. I must admit that I was thoroughly apprehensive about doing this, but there has been an extensive editing process to ensure that I had at least one bud of wisdom to share with all of you on this incredibly early morning. This summer and the past 4 years have been a roller coaster ride. We have been fortunate enough to live in a time where we can witness growing movements all around us. We have seen the Supreme Court make landmark decisions that have both granted rights and even restricted rights. If this has taught us anything, it is that circumstances can change in an instant. This is why my brief message to you is a call to action. I charge each of you to take advantage of the opportunities that you have been given and get involved in promoting positive change. As you spend more and more time here, you will hear many people refer to the Cornell bubble. This is the idea that the university sits in isolation from the rest of reality. And as much as I wish the bitter winters were not part of that reality, you can't win them all. We often find ourselves associating with the same groups of people and not really thinking about the Ithaca community. So often we get caught up in ourselves and we forget the people around us and the world in which we live. Then when we leave this bubble, we experience a bit of a shock. We see an injustice somewhere and we don't necessarily know how to react. We come across new things like bills. You mean rent exists? It's how much?
There's no dining hall in walking distance. I have to make food for myself. These are things. But on a more serious note, the injustices that we see revolve around lingering inequalities, poverty, accessibility issues, and many others. I will be the first to say that just because you are at Cornell does not mean that you will not come across an injustice. However, the great benefit of being at Cornell is that you are given the tools to combat such injustices and really change the circumstances in which you may find yourself. Above all else, remember that you are here to learn. I do not mean simply in an academic manner. You are here to learn about yourself. Your limits will be tested. Your comfort levels will be tested. You will, and probably already have, seen groups of people that you have never come across before. There are people with whom you will be spending the next 4+ years with. These will be the people with whom you sit in class and with whom you will hopefully solve complex problems. These are the people that will shape the communities of the future right alongside you. I urge you to not view this university as a factory, merely churning out degree-holding robots. Take the time to find classes that challenge your thought patterns. Join an organization and meet people that you might not have associated with otherwise. Most importantly, go forward and make the most of your time here. When you leave here, you will take these valuable experiences and apply them in ways that you cannot imagine at this moment. We all have a unique opportunity to really do something great with all that we learn here at Cornell. It is our responsibility to take what we have learned here and figure out a way to make larger positive societal change. So now that you have moved in and started meeting new people, get ready for the next phase of your life. Forget all those other obscure places. Harvard, what? Yale, who? You are at Cornell University. And even if you were like me and didn't even know Cornell existed until 2 weeks before you applied, you surely will know about it when you get ready to leave here in about 4 or more years. Believe me, you're in for quite a ride, and I am grateful to be here with you as you complete your first year. Hopefully I won't be here any longer, but again, you never know. 5+ and I'm going strong. So I wish you all the best in your first year. Know that you have my unrelenting support. Thank you. And at this moment, I'm going to bring to this welcome to the stage the graduate student elected trustee Derek Evanson.
Greetings, incoming freshmen, transfer students, and future graduate and professional degree candidates. Like you, I am a Cornell student. Unlike you, I have been in college since most entering freshmen were in the second grade. This is not an attempt to scare students or parents into thinking you will never leave the ivory tower for the real world, but rather an opportunity to offer some perspective in this final year of my PhD. As a Cornell student, I know you'll be bombarded with incessant information over the next several days. I have no delusions that you will remember my words today, when you may have already forgotten your roommate's name or the excuse you gave your parents about where you really were last night. If you can retain two words, however, remember this phrase: open yourself. In 10 years of Ivy League education, my experiences of greatest enlightenment and enjoyment have come from opening myself to new challenges and opportunities. Today, I offer four suggestions on ways to open yourself. First, open yourself to myriad courses and research opportunities. Cornell has over 80 academic departments, with more programs ranked in the top 10 in their field than any other university in the nation. I encourage you to search far and wide across Cornell's 7 undergraduate colleges, 3 professional schools, and 109 fields of graduate study. You are extremely intelligent people. You can process, digest, internalize, and evaluate information. But often, reconsidering preconceived notions will be the most difficult and rewarding aspect of your coursework. Take classes outside your comfort zone. Also, be open to interacting with professors outside of class. Not attending office hours or passing on the chance to grab coffee with a professor at a campus cafe is perhaps the biggest missed academic opportunity for most college students. Second, open yourself to extracurricular opportunities. Years ago, I was in charge of distributing funding to all 275 graduate and professional student groups on campus. I could not believe the diversity of academic, performing arts, sports, and service-oriented groups. Luckily, I was spared from handling funding for the additional 750 undergraduate student groups at Cornell. Whether you end up playing goalie for the inner tube water polo team or teaching musicology to inmates at a maximum security prison, your participation in any of the extracurricular activities here will find you friends for life and will powerfully affect your outlook on the world. Third, open yourself to success and failure. You will certainly experience both and learn from both at Cornell. While I'm a sociologist, I took an upper-level engineering course during my senior year of undergraduate study at Princeton. I failed the final exam, but left the course with a greatly expanded vision and appreciation of a completely different discipline. I also left with the enlightenment that one should take some introductory courses before thinking he can master a 4,000-level course in engineering of all subjects. Finally, open yourself to support when you need it. Think of Russell Crowe's character in the film Gladiator. Strength and honor was a phrase that united friends against challenges. Believe me, if Maximus Decimus Meridius needed assistance to achieve his goals, you should seek help when you need it as well. Between our dedicated and caring faculty, our highly responsive administrators and staff, the skilled professionals at Gannett Health Services, and your peers, there is always someone who wants to help you perform at your best. In conclusion, you are setting sail, like Odysseus, whose home also was Ithaca. Odysseus was an extremely intelligent and cunning individual, but he experienced great turmoil from knowing just how smart he was and from lacking humility. Beware of closing yourself off to different perspectives or to not questioning your own worldviews. In short, open yourself to adventure, exploration, and the Odyssey before you. Welcome.
Good morning, and welcome to Cornell, new transfer students in class of 2017. It is truly a pleasure to have the chance to address the newest members of Cornell's family. I stand here before you today as a senior, merely a 21-year-old who has much left to learn. And yet, my few years at Cornell have imparted on me a tremendous amount of knowledge. Of the many things I've learned at Cornell, both inside and outside of the classroom, it has become increasingly more aware to me that our time here is limited. We only get 4 years, well, some of us, five. I'm talking to all of you architecture students. And while there is no formula or one-size-fits-all approach to making the most of your college experience, my experience has led me to offer three pieces of advice. Be bold and take a chance. Make an impact, and lastly, enjoy the ride. Be bold and take a chance. Cornell has countless opportunities. Take advantage of them. Eat with someone new, join a new club, or take a class in an interesting yet unexplored topic. Your college experience will not be dependent on meeting your best friend throughout these first few weeks, but taking a chance starts with something as simple as introducing yourself to someone you've never met. Many of you have developed expertise, dedicated countless hours, and built your hard work ethic through one or multiple high school extracurricular activities. Continue these passions, but don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone and explore activities that pique your interest. Academics extend the realm of opportunity, with a chance to take classes in such topics as Swedish massage. That's right. A whole hour and a half each week that actually requires complete relaxation, or introduction to psychology, the same class where the term power nap was coined. Secondly, make an impact. You're here for a reason. Not only did Cornell accept you based on your past merits, but on your future potential to leave a lasting mark. Whether your impact comes through research, athletics, Greek life, or a myriad of other clubs and activities. Seek out the chance to become active and speak up. Continue your past passions or become involved in new ones. If there isn't an organization dedicated to your cause, create one. If there is a topic that is yet to be researched, research it. At Cornell, you will not only find the resources needed to make this mark, but also others with whom to leave this lasting impression. Lastly, and most importantly, enjoy the ride. Your 4 years will be filled with long nights in the libraries, a few hundred cups of coffee, and thousands of pages of reading. But that's not all you have to which to look forward. It's these little things that you'll miss the most. After all, for most of us, these experiences are once in a lifetime. I love college, and that's not just true for time spent with friends on the weekends outside of the library, but also for the stressful, long nights of studying with classmates, attempting the seemingly impossible task of catching up on a semester's worth of materials in one short night. And for these memories, I have Cornell to thank. I wanted to close with remarks from an esteemed Cornell enthusiast and someone who truly bleeds red, none other than Andy Bernard from The Office. On the finale of the long-running series, he nostalgically reflected on his experiences over the years, stating, "I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them." Class of 2017, transfer students and graduate students, welcome to the good old days. Embrace them, cherish them, and most importantly, never forget them. Thank you. And now I have the pleasure to introduce a board-certified cardiologist, a university administrator, a saxophonist and jazz aficionado, an advocate for the arts and humanities, and Cornell University's 12th president, Dr. David J. Scorton. President Scorton holds faculty appointments in internal medicine and pediatrics at the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City, and in biomedical engineering at the College of Engineering here on Cornell's Ithaca campus. President Scorton earned his bachelor's degree in psychology in 1970 and an MD in 1974, both from Northwestern University. Following a medical residency and a cardiology fellowship at the University of California, Los Angeles, he went to the University of Iowa as an instructor. He was president of the University of Iowa for 3 years, beginning in March 2003, and a faculty member for the University of Iowa for 26 years. President Scorton and his wife, Dr. Robin Davison, are extremely excited for the journey you're about to embark on. Don't be surprised if you see them enjoying a meal in one of the dining halls, mingling at an orientation event, or hanging out in one of your new favorite spots on North Campus this week. Please join me in welcoming Cornell's 12th president, President David J. Scorton.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning, David.
All right, I'll work with the students on better responses from now on. Forgive me as I just speak to the previous three student speakers for a moment. Just talk among yourselves. Don't be giving better speeches than I'm going to give in front of all these people. And Ulysses, you're a Floridian, and I grew up in California. Let's not scare him too much about the weather. Sure, it's going to be, it's 70-ish today. And it's going to be 50, 60, 70-ish degrees cooler a few months from now. But, you know, that's why we have parkas and things like that. And just to straighten out this weather business, we do have days like this frequently. Every decade or so, we have a day like this. And as a previous Cornell University president said, Ithaca, New York has four seasons. Already winter, winter, still winter, and construction. And so welcome to this beautiful day in the construction season at Ithaca, New York, and welcome to Cornell University. Now for me and so many others on campus, most of whom of course are not here this morning, today is the most hopeful day of the academic year a day when this university, now nearly 150 years old, is refreshed by our newest members and starts again. So whether you're a new student or a parent or a family member or a friend of one of our new students, all of us here and all the Cornellians standing behind us welcome you to this university and what we hope will be a lifelong relationship with Cornell. And I look forward personally to our journey together. As Kevin and Jason and Derek and Ulysses have conveyed really so well and so eloquently, Cornell is a strong and talented and positive and supportive community comprising people with wonderfully varying interests and backgrounds and perspectives and ideas. And I'm glad that each of you and all of you are becoming part of the Cornell family, and I look forward to getting to know you better. Robin and I did meet many of you yesterday under the tent on Rawlings Green, and there'll be many other opportunities, formal and informal, as our journey continues, to get together throughout your time here. Vice Presidents for Student and Academic Services, Dr. Susan Murphy, and I meet regularly with student leaders and visit the Student Assembly and the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, and we host office hours in my office from time to time. Dr. Murphy will advertise those in the Cornell Daily Sun. I also try to keep in touch with students through the column that I write for the Cornell Daily Sun about every other month, and the next one is on September 3rd. And most important, when you see me walking across campus or any of these leaders behind me, stop us, interrupt us for a moment. We're all busy, but we can all spare a moment to meet each other and to get to know each other because we're all in Cornell together. Now, of course, we know quite a bit about you in the aggregate, in the demographic sense. Our 3,282 entering first-year students come from 48 states and Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. I'm not sure, friends, why there's no one here entering from Wyoming or Arkansas, but I am not taking it personally. More than 11% of you entering students, first-year students, are international students, representing 51 countries of the 120 countries on this campus. Nearly 41% of you self-identify as students of color, and just over half of you are women. You were selected, 3,282 strong, from 40,000 applicants, making this the most selective class in Cornell University's history, and yet another class that I never would have been able to get into. We have 561 entering transfer students. I was a transfer student in the middle of my sophomore year, so I particularly resonate with those of you having this experience. And in addition to everything else that we have given you in the wonderful orientation guide, I hope the transfer students will look carefully at the transfer student orientation guide and take advantage of these wonderful activities. Of the 561 transfer students, 153 recognize themselves as students of color and 33 are international students. Now, how can I personally describe this new community that you have selected as your home for the next years? It's large and it's cosmopolitan, as you may guess from the demographics I just mentioned. It's an Ivy League university, but also New York State's land-grant university, creating an academic community with a unique commitment to excellence and service. It's intellectually rigorous. It's unbelievably creative. And we do engage the world, as well as our state, and as Ulysses mentioned, local community, through teaching and learning and research and outreach activities. Cornell's programs and Cornell's facilities extend from Ithaca to Geneva, New York, where we operate the New York State Agriculture Experiment Station, to Doha, Qatar, and the Persian Gulf, where our New York City-based Weill Cornell Medical College has for over a decade operated a medical school giving Cornell degrees overseas. We have programs and facilities in Washington, D.C., in Rome, Beijing, Kathmandu, and many other locations around the globe. The sun never sets on Cornell University. And our newest campus, Cornell Tech, will be built on Roosevelt Island in New York City and already is carrying out a mission of Advanced Education and Research and Entrepreneurship in Space in the Chelsea section of Manhattan, donated for our use by Google Inc., a small startup company that you will get to know. So Cornell is a very exciting place to touch the world, a very exciting place to learn about the world. And Cornell is also a welcoming and caring community where people look out for one another and help each other. You probably already have discovered this to some extent from the interactions you had with the hundreds of volunteers that we thanked earlier and orientation leaders behind us and resident advisors who are helping you to acclimate to Cornell during the first few weeks of the semester. And I predict you will continue to discover it during the many activities that the Orientation Steering Committee has organized for you over the next few days. And just imagine, in just a few hours, that magic moment will come when your parents will leave. Now, Sunday evening, Robin and I will be at a wonderful block party that we host in front of Mary Donlan. Don't be discouraged to see two older people come to that block party. We're only going to stay for about an hour, and I really urge you to go to that block party. It's a lot of fun. You'll taste many of the different wonderful foods put together by Cornell Dining and meet each other, and again, we will leave soon. Now, what does all this mean for you as new students? We're talking in generalities, but what does it mean for you who are just starting out in your college years? First of all, as you've heard already, Cornell is a place to pursue intellectual passions. As you've already had a chance to read in the orientation materials, you have some 4,000 courses from which to choose, plus opportunities to pursue research and scholarship and creative activity. I hope you do make time each semester to take at least one course just for the sheer joy of learning about something that interests you that you don't know too much about. College is a time to discover what excites you, to learn about subjects far, far outside your major, and to take some intellectual risks. One way to get started this coming Tuesday, the 27th, check out the Explore Series workshops. They are marked with exclamation points in your orientation guide, and you also received a special brochure about the Explore courses. These are really interesting, I believe, interactive sessions with some of our great professors, and they're based on the multidisciplinary university courses that they will be teaching this year. The topics are broad, 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 and they range from chemical ecology to race segregation in America to creating art in the plant world, and many, many other interesting topics. One of these courses, one of these workshops, might just open up a whole new universe to you, so I hope you take advantage of them. That's number one. Number two, as you've already heard, get to know your professors. They're obviously a critical part of your Cornell experience while you're here, and often you will keep these relationships with your professors long, long after you earn your degrees. Cornell faculty members are world leaders in their fields, or well on the way to becoming world leaders. They include Grammy Award nominees, Emmy Award and Pulitzer Prize winners, Nobel laureates, recipients of MacArthur Genius Grants, members of the National Academies and other scholarly societies, and people you're very likely to hear talking about important topics not only with you in your classroom and office hours, but on the morning talk programs and in the pages of the national newspapers. They are very inspiring teachers who actually care about you as students, and I want to tell you, with all the research excellence of Cornell University and over 40 Nobel Prizes to the credit so far, the most sought-after internal accolade at Cornell University is to be appointed a Weiss Presidential Fellow, an award given to just a tiny handful of faculty each year based totally on excellence in undergraduate teaching. So yes, you've ended up in a university which is one of the top research universities in the world, where undergraduate teaching is considered one of the highest callings. When classes start, please, please be sure to ask your professors questions during class, after class. Catch them in their office hours. See if you can participate in research and creativity in their labs and studios. As Derek said, get to know your faculty. It's a very, very important part of the Cornell experience. And continue to reach out beyond the curricular experience. There are faculty in residence and faculty fellows on the North Campus where you'll be living if you're a freshman, and house deans and professors and faculty fellows on the West Campus who eat meals with you and host programs on topics that might interest you. And you'll see me sometimes having dinner over at Becker House. Don't be afraid, I'm not going to give this speech again just because I sit down with you. We're just going to talk about whatever you like. If you do want to bring up, however, how great this speech is, that's fine. Now, a number of these professors that you're going to meet in the North and the West Campus are teaching one or two credit courses on both campuses as part of a new Learning Where You Live initiative. And this is a really great way to get to know a professor and explore an interesting topic. And check out Learning Where You Live, which is another brochure that you receive. So go back in those trash cans in your residence halls, pull out these brochures, dust them off, and take a look. Now I'm going to tell you about the Terrell TatCon Center on North Campus. This is a fabulous place that also provides opportunities for informal conversations with faculty members, special programs, study skills sessions, and a very knowledgeable and experienced staff of upper-level Cornell students. I think the TatCon Center is terrific, and I hope you have a chance to also check this out. And take advantage of whatever way you can connect with your professors, but make it a goal that before you leave Cornell, you will know at least four professors, one for each year, or maybe five, so that you will keep them as friends and colleagues throughout your career. My third piece of advice is to learn the culture and expectations of this new community so that you can participate fully and responsibly in life at Cornell. During the first few weeks, among many, many other orientation activities that are almost overwhelming, there'll be several required programs to help you understand what is expected in the culture here. Now, these range from the Cornell Essentials program, which will give you insights about how current students and recent alumni have navigated their way through the Cornell waters, to the Interactive Tapestry of Possibilities program, which is an eye-opening, thought-provoking, and heart-opening program which aims to raise awareness about what it means to live and to thrive and to contribute in a community that is diverse and inclusive. And as Ulysses has wisely said, the inequalities in our society are huge, and they are also on this very campus, and I urge you to think carefully during your sessions, Tapestry of Possibilities. And new this year is a program called Speak About It, which deals with issues of consent and sexual violence prevention. Also required is a new program on academic integrity, which in the age of internet search engines has become more and more critical as this area becomes more and more confusing to all of us. We have found that sometimes students may not understand that a particular behavior may be considered cheating or what actually constitutes plagiarism. So rather than just lecture you about it, the faculty have created and the staff have created new programs, and one new program is called The Essential Guide to Academic Integrity at Cornell, which you'll receive at the program, and that can help you, as it's helped us, sort it all out. But please know that, of course, we're going to hold you to high standards here that we also hold ourselves to, and these programs are meant to gently bring you into the expectations. My fourth piece of advice, again, echoes what you've already heard so eloquently from the student leaders, to experience the full scope of Cornell, to be an active member of the campus and of the wider community. Cornell has a very, very strong and unusual tradition of outreach and public engagement that goes back to the land-grant roots and touches every single aspect of this university. Each year, Cornell students, get ready for this, provide some 400,000 hours of service through the Cornell Public Service Center, a wonderful program now in its 21st or 22nd year, and the activities of the more than 1,000 recognized student organizations, as Derek mentioned. Through Engaged Learning and Research, another university-wide center, you will find opportunities for academic service learning, for community-based research, and public scholarship across a very, very wide spectrum of academic disciplines and programs. Please, in the middle of all the other things that you're doing, consider how you might include in your life at Cornell an extended time for study abroad. Studying or conducting research, Scholarly activities are wonderful ways to build in yourself global competency in a world in which it's more and more needed. Taking part in these programs can help you become even more creative and even more collaborative and even more critically reflective in the way you think. And I hope you'll find ways to participate in some of these, and ideally all of these, during your time here. Now, my final piece of advice is for the parents and families who are out there. It seems to me, just like yesterday, although it was about 10 years ago, that I sent my own son off to college, dropped him off. As soon as I got him to his residence hall, he said, "Dad, you look tired. You need to leave now." And I can relate to the complex emotions that I predict many of you are feeling right now. Pride that your student is now a Cornell student, but also a twinge of concern about the changes that will take place in the student, in your family, and yes, in your relationship with each other. There is no doubt that the college years can be tumultuous, and it is sometimes, or at least for me, it was hard to let go. But the fact that your students are Cornell students means that you and they have done a terrific job and that they are ready for this next exciting and somewhat frightening step. The most helpful thing, parents and family members, the most helpful thing that you can do now for these accomplished young adults is to step back and let them find their own way at Cornell. Of course, you should stay in touch with your students. You should text them and email and call them and Skype them, and I'm sure during our time together there'll be more technologies where we'll have like implanted things in our head and we'll just think about certain things. We'll think about, "Oh, no, you don't," and things like that. But whatever the technology is, use it and stay in touch. And come back to campus and be with us for First Year Parents Weekend, the first weekend in November, if you can make the journey. Listen carefully to your student and offer suggestions tactfully and give love and support unequivocally. But in the great, great majority of cases, try hard, I mean really, really hard, to give your students the space, the time, the freedom, and the confidence to find ways to solve their own problems for themselves. That said, if problems remain unresolved or if you sense that something is truly wrong, please, please let us know. The Family Guide contains a wealth of resources that you may find helpful while your student is at Cornell. I think you'll also find it helpful and reassuring to read a beautiful new publication written specifically for families called Voices, Stories of Insight and Experience. It contains personal stories and practical information and tips from Cornell staff, faculty and administrators, alumni, students. And if you didn't receive a copy and would like one, send an email to the Dean of Students, Kent Hubble. You can also get copies in the Cornell store. But I'm going to make this offer the first time today, and I'll make it repeatedly during our time together. If you've tried to go through the normal channels and you're having trouble getting the problem solved, I want you to write me at my private email, david.scorton@cornell.edu, and I'll direct your message to someone who will help you. So new students and families, again, on behalf of all of us here, welcome to the start of a great adventure in our journey together. Welcome to the academic breadth and depth, the intellectual rigor, the societal engagement that are hallmarks of a Cornell education and a Cornell experience. Welcome to a place of high standards and personal responsibility. Welcome to a close-knit community whose members, faculty, students, and staff come here from all over the world to learn and discover from each other and to make a difference. And know that as of today, you are full members of this community, and we are excited, and we are honored, and we are thrilled to have you here. New students and families, welcome to Cornell. Thank you very much. Now, in your program at the bottom of the page where this program is listed, you'll find the words for the Cornell alma mater. And Cornell has a very widely honored and beautiful alma mater, and this is the first of many, 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 many times, friends, that we are going to share singing this. So please, if you can, rise and join me and have a wonderful day and a wonderful experience.